Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
My own calling by God is to preach the word, as Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. But this is not just a matter of my personal calling. Holy Scripture is central and foundational as we seek to follow Jesus Christ. So in this series, Next Steps in Following Jesus, our subject this morning is Scripture.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Do you believe in absolute truth? Opinions and feelings give us a distorted view of reality. Yet the Word of God, the Bible, is a perfect mirror and offers us truth with no distortions. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe as we continue focusing on the power of Scripture.
The Bible is God's eternal and unchanging truth. Everything around us is changing, but while the grass withers and the flower fades, the Word of our Lord stands forever. The Word of God is central to our verdict ministry. Each day we focus on the Word of God and then our response to it, our verdict. The Bible is God's absolute truth. It's a supernatural book and it will transform your life. It never lies because God is the author and He cannot lie. Listen now as we continue in our series, Next Steps in Following Jesus, as we think of the character of the Bible and why it is so important that we read and obey the Bible as we follow the Lord Jesus.
So this book, the Bible, is the Word of God. It contains God's eternal truths. So when the Bible speaks, God is speaking. Do you believe that? You want to know what God says? People say, well, it's a pity God didn't tell us. God has told us. When the Bible speaks, God is speaking, and God's Word is truth. Let's think, first of all, of the truth of the Bible. Turn with me, if you have your Bible, towards the end of the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. What does Paul say as we look back at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16? He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. The Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. In your translation, it may have the word inspired. In the ESV, which I'm reading from, it says breathed out. Scripture is the very breath of God. Where did the Bible come from? Here is Paul writing. Yes, it's true. Paul is writing. He is the human author. But God, not man, is the origin of the Bible. This is why when the Bible speaks, God is speaking. The Bible is the only divinely authoritative writing. I realize that Muslims believe that Quran is the actual word of God coming down from heaven, but the Quran denies the deity of Christ. The Quran denies the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. I realize the Mormons, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, claim that the Book of Mormon and other writings is the word of God. They claim that revelation continues through their prophets. Hindus have the Bhagavad Gita. Buddhism has the Lotus Sutra, which teaches universal salvation. But the Bible, and the Bible alone, is the only divinely authoritative writing. And Paul here is saying something very, very important in 2 Timothy 3:14. He's saying that God's Word is sufficient for every spiritual need. Read with me 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. He's writing to Timothy. As for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. And from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy had a privilege that I personally also had of being taught the Scriptures in his own home. In Timothy's case, from his mother and his grandmother, they taught him the Scriptures. Many of you have had that privilege. Can I say to the children, can I say to young people, don't resent that. I know you think sometimes your parents are a little weird because they want to read the Bible to you. And maybe you're sometimes a little embarrassed that they love Jesus. Don't be. This is one of the greatest privileges a child, a young person could have, that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, Timothy, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's it. It's inspired, it's inerrant, it comes from God. If it comes from God, it must be perfect. He's a perfect God. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God's word is sufficient for every spiritual need that you have. It's always sufficient because it's always relevant. It's always relevant because it's eternal. The Bible is more up to date than today's newspaper. In fact, the Bible is so up to date that it has answers for questions that we have not yet asked. That's relevant. You say, well, it was written a long time ago, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. That's true. But remember, it's coming from an eternal God who's outside of time and space. A God who knows everything about everything. A God who knows what you need to know and what you don't need to know. And in his wisdom has given us these wonderful 66 books for our instruction and for our growth and for our maturity. And all that I need for spiritual guidance, all that I need as I follow Jesus, is found in this book. We call that the sufficiency of Scripture. How gracious of God to give us an instruction book, exactly what we need. And this word of God leads us to salvation. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Timothy, you were taught the Old Testament scriptures. And by that, he's referring primarily to the Old Testament. But even in the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ. How is your faith going to be strengthened? How are you going to be led to saving faith in Christ? Answer the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, Paul says in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That is, the more I read of Scripture, the more I need of Christ. And the more I read of Christ, the greater my trust will be in him. And the stronger my faith will be in him, because this Christ, this Savior, this God will never ever fail me. And God, in his great love, has given us not just this book. He's given us his Son. In great love, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you to rescue you. And perhaps some of you sitting here have had your mom and dad explain that to you over the years, and you've never responded, or perhaps you've responded by pushing it away. These are the words of eternal life. This is God's message for you, which must be personally responded to, as Timothy did. It wasn't enough that he had Eunice and Lois to teach him the word of God. He had to personally open his heart to Jesus. And this is what he did. This word will lead you to saving faith in Christ. All you need for salvation, all you need to grow spiritually, all the guidance and wisdom and strength you need in life comes from knowing the Holy Scriptures. Now look at verses 16 and 17 again. Because God's word not only leads us to salvation, it leads us in our sanctification. Sanctification is a big word, which means the process by which we grow in our faith and become more and more like Jesus. This series is Next Steps in Following Jesus. Many of us here would say that we're following Jesus. How am I going to follow him more closely? How am I going to serve him more effectively? How am I going to know him better? Through his word. Through listening to his teaching. Paul says here in verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. That's the first thing he says. The word of God teaches us. That is, there are truths in the Bible to be learned, to be understood, and to be obeyed. This is one of the great characteristics of the authentic follower of Jesus, that he or she is teachable. I hope you're teachable. I hope you don't think you know it all. As you follow Jesus, you need to be taught. And where are you going to be taught? The Word of God teaches us. Secondly, says Paul, it's profitable not only for teaching, for reproof. None of us like to be reproved, do we? But the Bible does that. Our failures and our faults and our secrets and our errors are exposed and unmasked and confronted. We are reproved. This Word of God, it touches our conscience, doesn't it? As you're at home reading your Bible, you understand that the Holy Spirit takes that word to convict you, and you're reproved. Or perhaps a brother and sister in Christ, as they look at your life, realize you need reproved. And what do? They read a verse of Scripture to you. This is what the Word of God does. Not only does it teach us and reprove us, Paul says, it's profitable for correction. It keeps us on track. It stops us from straying. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Easy to get off track, isn't it? Have you found that? You stop reading the Bible for a few days. You stop coming to worship for a few weeks. And before you know it, not because you've tried to go off track, but you find that your love for Christ is getting colder, and you find that you're, instead of following Jesus, you're following the culture, following yourself, following your ego, following your pleasure. What's going to bring us back? The Word of God, it corrects us. What does David say in Psalm 119, verse 9? How shall a young man cleanse his way? There's only one answer I have. And the answer is given in Psalm 119, verse 19. How shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man live a clean life? Answer, by taking heed thereto according to your word. Young man, if you follow God's word, I don't care the darkness, I don't care the corruption, you will keep on track. How can a businessman conduct a business in an age where people specialize in the art of the lie? How can someone conduct business with integrity instead of compromise and sleaze? I'll tell you how. By regulating your business and your life according to the Word of God. It corrects us. And the psalmist goes on to say in two verses later, in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. With God's word, as we read it, as we memorize it, as it becomes part and parcel of who we are, it will correct us and stop us getting off course. There's another one here. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Like a parent rearing a child, the Word of God matures us in living godly lives according to God's holy standards. We are to be trained. Why? So that, verse 17, the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God saves you for a purpose. God wants you to serve him. And in order for you to be usable in the Lord's service, you have to be trained. How are you going to be ready as a follower of Jesus? Do you know that tomorrow, as you go to work, God may be opening a door for you to witness to someone, to shine for Christ? Wouldn't it be sad if you weren't ready? Tomorrow could be the most difficult day of your life. You could find yourself in some crisis, unexpected. Wouldn't it be sad if you weren't ready? Tomorrow the devil could be after you in a way that he has never tempted you before, and you're harassed. Wouldn't it be sad if you weren't ready? You say, John, you're scaring me. No, no, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to challenge you. I want you to get ready. Ready for every good work. Ready to serve the Lord. Ready to be salt. ready to be the light of the world, shining for Jesus Christ openly in front of others. The only way to do that is know the Word of God. This is why God gives us it. It's profitable for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate for every good work. If you're not in the Word of God, don't be surprised when you're spiritually weak. Don't be surprised when you're not spiritually on your back and you're confused and you're discouraged and you think, I don't know what to do. And you make some terrible decisions with some far-reaching consequences. The Word of God is sufficient for every spiritual need. Now, as we conclude very quickly, responding to the Bible. To say the obvious, the Bible is not only to be read, it's to be obeyed. The goal is not just to know the Bible like a student knowing the facts for a test and then after the test forgetting them. That's not what it is. The Bible is to be personally assimilated, integrated into my life and obeyed. Jesus says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Howard Hendricks used to say, the Bible was not given to us to make us smarter sinners. It's not just to give you information. Not just to impress people at the ALG. Oh my, how he knows his Bible. Not really. He's just got a good memory. We'll know if he knows the Bible well on Monday morning at work, in his home, how he treats his wife, how he raises his children. That's the test, isn't it? Not just whether you've got information. Of course we need information. But the Word of God is given to us to transform our lives. This is the passage that I read in James 1, verses 22 and 24, where he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. The word hearer here means an auditor. Did you ever audit a course in college? I'd never heard of auditing a course until I went to Dallas Seminary. And I was told you can audit a course. And so I audited a few courses. They were great. You didn't have to do the exams if you didn't want to. The professor could give you a reading assignment and you didn't have to read the books. That's not the Bible, is it? There should be no auditors. If we are like that, we are deluding ourselves. Why is it? Some people can go to many, many Bible studies and still be spiritually immature. I'll tell you, they have been auditing the course. What they have learned has gone into their mind possibly, although sometimes we wonder even if it has gone in there, but it may have gone into their mind, but it's never impacted their heart, their hands, their attitudes, and it has never mobilized them to tell others about Jesus. James says, if you're like that, you're like the man who looks in the mirror and then he goes away. A totally pointless exercise. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Luke 11:28. Blessed rather as those who hear the word of God and keep it. Do you want God to bless you? I do. To hear the word of God and keep it. This is why humility is so important. I read the words of Hannah. She prayed for Samuel as this little boy grew up. You remember when God started to speak to him and Samuel had to learn, as we have to learn, to say these words, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Is that what you're doing? You're saying, you've brought me here, Lord. Not just to wonder what Monroe's going to be speaking about today, but you've come to speak to me. I want humbly to receive your word, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Do you really expect to be changed by the word of God? So you're looking at your life and you see it and you see the sins and the unspiritual attitudes that we all have. And you're confronted with it. And you say, now God in his grace, that has to change. Spirit of God, help me. Help me to confess that sin, to repent of that sin, to share Christ with that individual. And in this way, we are becoming more and more authentic followers of Jesus. Listening with humility and practicing instant obedience. Instant obedience. As a parent, you want your children to respond instantly, don't you? May not happen, but that's your goal. You don't want them to say, I'll think about that, Dad. Let me think about that, Mom. When our Heavenly Father speaks to us, He expects instant obedience, because the devil will tell you to wait, tell you to delay. But the word of the gospel is always now. Christ wants you to act today. If He's convicted you of a sin, repent of that sin now. If He's spoken to you in His word and there's something you should do, do it now. Take action. Don't just think about it. And that way we grow in His faith. You know, God's word has changed my life, and it's continuing to change my life. And I've been privileged this, over the years, to see the word of God transforming the lives of thousands of people. What about you? Will you read the word of God daily? Not just when you come to church. Today, tomorrow, get in this word. We'll think more of that next week. This is the next step in following Jesus, Scripture. It's one of the most exciting adventures you'll ever make. My desire for you, each one of you, is that you are excited to get into this book, that more and more you love Christ and you love His word and you love to sit at His feet and listen to Him, so that your life will be a life of surrender to Jesus Christ. Read this book. Study this book. Memorize this book. Obey this book. It will be a lamp to your feet. It will be a light to your path. It will be food for your soul. It will be the very bread of life for you. This is the true and the living Word of God. And it will change your life. Father, thank You for Your Word. How gracious You are in giving us it. Help us not to be critics over it, but rather to humble ourselves under it, that we may be like the man that Isaiah writes, who trembles at Your word, that we hear Your voice. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for forgiveness. And I pray for those who don't know Christ, who don't know the Savior, that they will hear the command, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, and that they will open their hearts to Christ. May each of us hunger and thirst after righteousness, we pray. In His precious name, amen.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the second part of a lesson about the role of Scripture. John will return with more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. As a special thank you to our listeners, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the helpful resource we're offering for this study. It's a booklet by John designed to help you understand what it looks like to follow Jesus and apply His teaching each day in a practical way. The booklet is called Life in the Kingdom, and it's free for the asking by mail or download. Request your copy of this encouraging guide when you go to our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day, encouraging others to trust and follow Him. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give today, visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're on our homepage, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list. It's meant to help you stay in the loop on our latest ministry news and exciting updates. Again, it's all at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And if you're on social media, you can also connect with The Verdict on most major platforms, like Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just log on to your account and search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? I trust you will make a commitment to read the Bible every day. I know you're busy, but if you're not used to reading the Bible, start reading 15 or 20 minutes every day. You can make time for that. Begin reading one of the Gospels or one of Paul's short letters. And before you read, ask God to help you understand. What a difference it will make in your life as you follow Jesus. Next time, I will help you to study the Holy Scriptures. Join me then on The Verdict.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.